Hello, Mine University students. We have a very special episode of Geek History Lesson for you lined up this week. We are going to pull back the curtain and we are going to reveal a podcast that Ashley Victoria Robinson, my Geek History Lesson co-host, and I do that you may not know about. So on various episodes of Geek History Lesson, we often get asked by the fans, what movies do we like? Do we like movies that are full of drama? Do we like movies that are full of sci-fi things and passion and superheroes? And what do we think about those movies? And Ashley and I finally said, you know, we should answer the people's questions. And so we created a brand new podcast to do that. And that is called the Film Footsteps Podcast. This is called Film Footsteps, Movies That Inspired Our Creative Lives. Now, this is a podcast that we're going to do once a month, where Ashley and I are going to spend each episode diving into a movie that inspired our creative lives, that inspired us to pursue the adventure and the excitement of being a full-time actor and a full-time professional writer. We're going to talk about personal experiences with the movies. We're going to take some of your questions, but it is a personal journey of how we got from certain movies and took the footsteps to where we are in our lives. And you can hear this podcast over at patreon.com/Jawin. That's J-A-W-I-I-N. And this week, we're going to give you a bonus, as I like to call it, a sneak peek bonus episode of the Film Footsteps for you all to hear. The first episode where basically we talk about why we created the podcast and what types of movies really speak to us and what, you know, basically lit the spark or the flame of our creative lives. And I know what some of you are saying. Some of you are saying right now, but yeah, but that's not going to give us a podcast where you talk about one of the movies that is inspirational to you. And I understand that. So we're also going to give you just a little taste of you, a little dollop of the first episode and the very first movie that we talked about on the Film Footsteps podcast. And I'm not going to tell you what that is. You're going to have to listen to the end of the episode to figure that out. But if you want to hear the episode in full, come over and support Geek History Lesson at patreon.com/Jawin. And that's where you can hear GHL Extra and Film Footsteps every single month. And two episodes of Jason and Jeremy Jawin About Justice League, our Justice League animated series review show. And do not worry, next week we'll be back to a brand new normal Geek History Lesson. The scuttlebutt around the Mine University is that it might be an episode on the Super Mario Brothers. But until then, please enjoy this bonus, sneak, preview episode of the Film Footsteps podcast. Enjoy.
Hello, my name is Jason Inman.
And I'm Ashley Victoria Robinson.
And welcome to the Movies That Inspired Us podcast. That's right, it's a brand new podcast, it's a brand new thing, and we're here to talk about movies that have inspired us, you know, because I think it's easy to say that movies inspire us, and we need to be more inspiring, and we're looking for a way to be inspired in the world, right?
Absolutely.
Right?
We're looking to bring you inspiration through what brings us inspiration.
Yeah, it's funny, before we started this podcast, Ashley mentioned that our theme song music sounded very much like PBS or a NPR podcast, and I didn't mean to start out our intro very NPR.
Hello. I feel like we're skipping through the woods to go to Downton Abbey or something.
Jason Inman, it's currently 87 degrees in Cincinnati, Ohio. Oh, and
there is something about evoking PBS and NPR that makes you kind of want to do a very soft Atlantic and aspirate a little more in your voice instead of yelling like we do on Geek History Lesson.
Yes, we want this podcast to feel very much like the third movement of Chopin.
We want it to be thought-provoking. We want you to feel erudite. We want you to feel educated. We want you to feel a sense of denouement as we wrap up at the end of each episode.
No, we don't. We want to talk about them movie pictures with the bang bang and the chitty chitties and the bang bangs.
The chitty chitties and the bang bangs.
Yes, the chitty chitty bang bangs. I love you. Anyway,
I mean, that movie rocks.
So this is our pilot episode. Basically, what is going to happen on this podcast going forward is that each and every episode, Ashley, we're going to start with Ashley and then myself, are going to pick a movie that inspired us in some way. What does that mean? Well, and Ashley, feel free to jump in on any of these points. You know, it's like, it's a movie that like maybe inspired us to start our creative careers, or a movie that has a scene that has really stuck with us, or a score or a poster.
We're going to take inspire to mean a lot of different things in a lot of different ways.
And personal to us too.
And very, very personal. So I think it's going to be a wild ride month to month, seeing the breadth and width of what we find inspiring, because I think a lot of people think of us as being comic book people.
Yeah.
But the horizons are a lot bigger than that, too.
Well, yeah. Like, I mean, you know, Ashley and I, we've been doing the Geek History Lesson podcast for 9 years.
Next month.
Yeah. Wow. Wow. And you know, in terms of that, you know, I've worked for DC Comics, I worked for Rhett and Link, I've worked for Honest Trailers, I work for CBS Television right now, but I've done a lot of stuff in the pop culture sphere talking about television shows and movies, and you have as well. Mm-hmm. And you know, so we've definitely talked a lot about movies, but I don't think we've ever really talked about the things, the pieces of art that really inspired us to go into creative careers.
Mm-hmm. Or maybe even gave us the confidence that, oh, they did this, I could do this too.
I don't know if any movie ever gave me that, to be honest with you, but that's a fair point. But I most of the time I look at movies and I'm like, I could never do that. That's the way I look at it. I guess I'm more like a yokel. I'm more wowed by movies. I'm like, woo.
No, I'm the, I told this on our main podcast, Geek History Lesson. I think I told the story when we covered the Fellowship of the Ring for its 20th anniversary. I remember learning that Elijah Wood was 19 when they started shooting that movie, and being like, oh, cool, I could do that.
At 19?
At 19, not knowing that he'd been in the industry since he was 3 years old, or understanding of the complications. But like, I think we're both trying to impart that this is going to be more personal than traditional film analysis.
Yes, I think so as well. You know, and I thought a great thing that would be really interesting for this sort of like pilot episode.
Mm-hmm.
And again, every episode, at the end of every episode, we'll announce the movie that we're going to watch next so that you all can watch it with us.
And we'll let you know where the easiest place to get it is.
Yeah, hopefully, because we don't want you to pay for these. Well, we do, because we want you to support these artists.
We want you to support it.
But if you can legally. Watch, yes. Look, you're going to watch the ads, okay? Sorry, just go with it. I have some fun movie questions.
Okay,
that
let's
I thought
do it.
Would be some fun, interesting things to kind of let the listeners know sort of like our movie tastes.
Mm-hmm.
Starting out fresh, starting out right out the gate.
I love that.
What was the first movie you saw in movie theaters, Ashley? I don't know if I know this answer.
I think the first one I remember is The Lion King.
Okay. Oh, okay.
Might not be true, but it's the first one I remember seeing.
Why do you think that might not be true?
Because I don't remember being like 3 years old or 2 years. I don't know if my mother...
Can we call Denise on the phone right now?
Whatever. I mean, it is almost midnight in her time zone, so we
could. Do you
want
to bring her into this podcast right now? Do you want to call her and see if she'll answer?
Sure.
And tell her, put her on speakerphone and be like, hey, okay, here, this is exciting, guys. We are calling New Brunswick, Canada. We won't say the exact location. But are you FaceTiming her?
It's the only way she'll answer the phone.
Okay, make sure you turn it up so that put it closer to the mic so the mic can hear it. Here we go, live in the air.
Let's see. Not gonna answer.
She probably won't answer.
Oh. Okay. First of all, I have to legally tell you this. I'm recording. I have one question, and then I'll let you go. That's my mom's dog. Mom, what was the first movie that I saw in movie theaters?
The delay is gripping.
Lion King?
Yeah, it was either that or The Hunchback of Notre Dame.
Okay.
Oh, it could have been The Hunchback of Notre Dame.
Okay, thank you. I love you. I'll call you tomorrow.
Love you.
Bye.
And special guest.
Denise St. Pierre. Making her podcast debut.
Oh, wow. But not
she doesn't know what podcasts are.
No, but she made her actually film debut in the Red Shirt Diaries.
It's her only acting role to date.
So it was definitely Lion King's Hunchback of Notre Dame was years later.
Yes.
I know. Yeah. So it was not Lion King. Okay, cool. What do you remember? From the first time seeing Lion King that really like stuck
crying
with
Crying. I remember crying.
The death of Mufasa really knocked your socks off?
It did. It did not emotionally prepare me for my own father's death nine years later.
Woo! we're not talking about any light issues on this podcast,
certainly not. What I honestly most remember is the music. I loved the Elton John songs.
Oh,
okay. I really loved "Can You Feel the Love Tonight." That was like
that song all about sex.
That was my jam as a little. And then I remember it coming on the radio. I didn't understand how radio worked.
Oh, yeah. And I don't think on the radio it was Elton. It was somebody else.
I'm not sure.
I'm pretty certain it was somebody
else. But I remember leaning up to the speaker in my mom's car and saying, "Play Can You Feel the Love Tonight?" And my mom was like, "That is not how the radio works." I was ready.
Radio. Please play Can You Feel the Love Tonight?
I was so ready for Siri. Before Siri was
ahead of the trend.
Here's another fun fact kind of tying into that. I am a classically trained flautist, and the first full song I learned how to play on my flute was Can You Feel the Love Tonight from The Lion King, because it's only about 5 notes long.
Okay. All right.
And I really like The Lion King. I am not someone from my generation where it's my favorite Disney movie. Mm-hmm. I understand why it's a turning point. I understand why for people it really resonates with them, but I've always liked the movie. Mm-hmm. So that's the first one that I can remember. Probably true according to Denise. Mm-hmm. How about, I know your answer.
Do you?
I do.
Okay. Well, mine is a re-release.
Yes.
And it was in the 80s when they re-released the animated Bambi.
I've never seen Bambi.
Mom gets shot like the first 10 minutes.
We had the picture book of it.
Interesting. Does mom get shot in the picture book?
Yeah.
Pretty sad.
Yeah. And then there's that like nasty stepdad Buck who
doesn't care about Bambi.
Yeah, he's like kind of the leader of the herd or whatever, mm-hmm. even though there would not be a buck in the herd.
Yeah.
And he's not nice. He's not a nice man.
So it was Bambi. I saw it with my aunt and my mom in Lawrence, Kansas. I remember I was very young. Now, the movie that I remember seeing young that really impacted me is a tie, actually. Mm-hmm. And it's a tie between I got to see the first Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles movie in theaters for a birthday gift when I was young. And then later that same summer, or it might've been the next, I think it was the same summer, I got to see Batman 89 in the theaters. Mm-hmm. And they were like sort of both my birthday gifts. Mm-hmm. So getting to see like these two big adventurous superhero movies. And to be honest with you, I think they mostly hold up even nowadays. Mm-hmm. You know, like they of course have, you know, aged appropriately.
Techniques and stuff.
Yeah. But like, I still think they're pretty solid. So that was, I think, the first time I would say those two films were the first, cause I like Bambi, but those two films were the first time where I was like, oh, this is like the power of story. Like this is, I think I was too much of a spectator. I was too young to understand that Bambi was a piece of art.
Uh-huh.
And then I think when I saw Batman and Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, and I know they're not artful films. Look, they're not Oscar winning films, guys. They're just like simple, you know, action.
TMNT actually is quite artful, especially with the suits and the puppetry.
For several years, it was the highest grossing independent film of all time.
Yeah, it was. The birth of New Line Cinema, which would eventually give us the Lord of the Rings.
But I remember that was the first time where I had the idea where I was like, oh, stories can make you feel certain ways. Because in Turtles, there's several moments where like, so they think Splinter's dead and they got to move on. And then Batman is like, oh, Vicky Vale and my parents are dead. And Jack Palance Jack Palance always makes me feel things.
I saw The Lion King on a military base.
Oh, really?
I did. Yeah. Yeah.
At a military theater?
I guess.
It would be a military theater. Yeah. Or it'd be like, it'd be the PX. The PX theater.
Well, we call them Canexes.
Oh, interesting.
In Canada.
Okay, so the American.
I would have been on Petawawa, which is the I think it's the indigenous name for the river and then the town that it was in, but it was a well known base in Ontario. Mm. No, there wasn't a theater there. It would have been the town over had a small mall, so it would have been in Pembroke, and I think they had two screens. Mm. And I remember getting Jogan Fruits before we went in.
Okay, this is kind of an impossible question, but it's a good movie question to get to know you.
Yep.
Again, we're going through this adventure of the movies that inspired us. What do you have a favorite genre of movies?
I think objectively, if you look at my top films, they broadly fall under action adventure.
Okay.
I really like fantasy, which is pretty true of me across genres. The problem is there's a lot more crummy fantasy than there is like really high level excellence in storytelling fantasy. And I mean that across budgets. Like, I don't think Conan is a particularly high budget film.
Conan the Barbarian.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And I think that movie is like truly excellent in all ways. But I think action adventure are where a lot of my tastes lie, but like broadly dramas. I'm more of a drama than a comedy person.
Okay.
Because one of my other favorite films is His Girl Friday, which...
kind of a comedy.
But broadly a drama, right? Like they have to keep the man from being executed.
Yes.
But written comedically.
The thing I always remember that movie is the reporters running into the room to all race for the phone.
Yeah. And she's like hiding in the desk.
Which is such a problem that like doesn't exist anymore.
Except in horror movies. The thing I remember is...
Get out of the way. I got to get to the phone.
It's now the gif of Cary Grant being like, get out.
Yeah.
How about you? I mean, again, I think I know your answer.
You might not. Character dramas.
Mm-hmm.
Because the movies that knock my socks off tend to be, they're always dramas. I like dramas. I can watch a drama and sort of unwind.
Yeah. Yes, you can.
Whereas I can't watch a comedy and unwind.
Yes.
So I like movies that make me think. And I like to experience the decisions and the sort of machinations of a character and why they do the thing. I like to figure out what makes a character or a human being tick.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe that's because I'm a professional writer. Maybe that's why. I don't know. But that's what I like. So, you know, I don't really want to drop any movies in case we like might end up watching anything like that. But that's the genre of the movies. Here's a fun question that I found. We're going to get some interesting taste here. Ashley.
Yep.
Who's the most beautiful actress in the world?
Actress, female?
Yeah. We're also going to do actor.
Lupita Nyong'o.
Oh, it's a great choice.
I just think she is so stunning. Mm-hmm. I would marry her heartbeat.
Yeah.
She's also very smart. Okay. I think Lupita Nyong'o is really beautiful.
I'm going to say somebody at the height of their powers in the 90s.
That's fine.
I'm going to say Nicole Kidman.
Yeah, Nicole Kidman.
At the height of her powers in the 90s was just like stunning.
Really stunning, yeah.
Like goddess.
Stunning. I mean, still very stunning.
Oh, she is.
But I understand you. I understand the point you're making. Yeah.
Who is the most handsome actor in the world?
Benedict Cumberbatch. I think he's so beautiful. He looks like an alien. Yeah, I just think he's really stunning. I know he looks like an alien. I just like it so much.
Trying to think about who I think might be like the most handsome actor in the world. This is a tough one for me.
That's interesting. I know who I would think that you would say.
Go ahead.
I mean, Henry Cavill's a pretty easy.
Henry Cavill's a good looking dude.
Answer.
I don't know if he's number one. I'm trying to think about, like, I think John David Washington's a good looking dude.
John David Washington, very handsome.
I think Idris Elba's a good looking dude.
Yeah.
I
think Hugh Jackman, again, at the height of his powers. He also looks great now, but like at the height of his powers.
Hugh Jackman, like 2000.
Yeah. Like the first X-Men movie. Yeah, Swimmer's body, Hugh Jackman.
Sure. let's just go with that. That's good enough, right?
Great.
Yeah. Okay. Let's answer this.
Okay.
How long should a movie be? How long is too long?
Okay, like...
By the way, I'm pulling these questions from like a random list I found of movie conversation questions to ask your friends.
So, of course, this is all the caveat of like, it depends on the story. My favorite movie in the world is 5 hours long. I think the ideal length of a movie is 2 hours or less.
I agree. I think it all depends.
And if it's a horror movie, 90 minutes or less.
I think it all depends on the movie. I recently saw The Good, the Bad, and the Ugly at the New Beverly in Los Angeles, and... it's a 3-hour movie.
Yeah.
And watching it with a crowd with the energy and seeing it on the big screen did not feel like 3 hours at all.
And move
like a truck.
You made a really interesting statement to me about it because about half the crowd hadn't seen it before. And you realized for the first time how funny that movie was.
People laughed in places that I never expected people to laugh.
Which happens in a crowd that is one of the cases mm-hmm. we made for seeing a movie in a theater versus in yep. your living room.
And it was the first time that I was like, oh, they probably did that for the audience to laugh at. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That movie's quite serious tonally. It's another drama.
It is. It's quite weird. But I agree. I think 2 hours or less. Mm-hmm. I think like there are some 90-minute movies that are like perfect.
100%.
But yes, I think modern filmmakers could be better editors.
I agree. I actually think right now, as we are recording this podcast, we are in an era of indulgence. Mm-hmm. And we're seeing a lot of imperfect but interesting movies right now, in my opinion. And a lot of them could use like 30 minutes shaved off of them. Mm-hmm. I'll say this with my full chest. There's no reason for a James Bond movie to be longer than 2 hours. And I think my favorite James Bond movie might longer be longer than two hours.
Yeah, your James favorite James Bond movie is longer than 2 hours. Excuse me. What do you like to eat or drink while watching a movie?
Interesting. I prefer chips over popcorn.
Okay.
Personally.
Not a lot of movie theaters that sell chips.
Well, right now I'm in a season of my life where I'm watching a lot more movies at home.
The old person season.
The grumpy. I put your phone away. Yeah. Please don't say anything. It's a movie.
People mad. You know?
Yes, I am entering the Frankenstein era of my life and I'm okay with that.
It's my favorite era of human existence. The Frankenstein era. Yeah.
Well, and after that, I believe, comes the Snow White Witch, where you're laughing and pulling the cellar door down on top of yourself.
And offering young ladies, would you like an apple?
Yeah. I can't wait to go down there and die amongst all my cats.
All your kids are like, why are you talking to a mirror, Mom?
And I'm like, leave me alone.
Yeah, I have to be the fairest.
All of my kids, you mean my cat. What was the question?
What do you like to eat while watching movies?
If we're at a movie theater, I like a chocolate thing. Okay. So like M&M's or a Milk Duds.
I'm like a Mike and Ike's guy.
You are. You're a fruity candy guy.
I am a fruity candy guy. Yes. Yeah. Is that a term? Fruity candy guy. Let's see. How do you choose which movie to watch? Like, say you see a trailer, mm-hmm. say you see a commercial, like what makes you say, oh, I gotta go see that movie theaters?
Purely from a trailer. So like, I'm not gonna go see it because there's maybe an actor I like in it, or a writer who scripts it, or a director. Well,
those are assumed, right? You know?
Right. Yeah. Okay. So like, let's think about a trailer that really got me was Moonlight. Mm-hmm. I don't need a trailer to tell me everything. In fact, I don't want it to tell me everything. Trailers, in my opinions, are one of the only times where no thoughts, just vibes can really rule out. I want to know how the movie's going to make me feel.
I agree.
And Moonlight, that trailer where it's Mahershala Ali and I can't remember that actor's name. It's Alex something, who plays the youngest version of the lead boy. Floating in the water and teaching him how to swim. Mm-hmm. And it's so beautiful. But because they're in the ocean, there is an undercurrent of danger and uncertainty. And that is what Moonlight is. Mm-hmm. It's beautifully shot around a human tragedy. And that's when I want, when I see the movie, I want all thoughts, no vibes. Mm-hmm. I would rather have a headier film that's less artistic than the other way around. Like, I want the story to win out. But I want the movie to tell me how I'm going to feel. That's why I think horror movies right now have some of the best trailers. Mm-hmm. How about you?
I have to see something that intrigues me, whether it is story or emotion or just something.
Or a stunt.
Yeah, I mean, that's the gag of the new Mission Impossible movies. It's always like, holy cow, I got to see that stunt, even though you see it all in the trailer anyway. You know, I have to see it in the full screen, mm-hmm. the maximum biggest thing. But I think you nailed it right in the head. It's like, it is like, how do I think this thing is going to make me feel? And to lean onto that, and I'll answer this question first to give you time to think.
Okay.
I want to ask you, do you have a movie trailer that you could still remember that you're just like, man, that movie trailer was awesome?
So besides Moonlight.
Yes. Mine, I will go ahead and answer, give you time to think.
Yeah.
Mine is, I think it was the second full-length trailer for Star Trek 2009. It's the one where they use the line from Pike where he says, your dad was captain of a starship mm-hmm. for 5 minutes and he saved 86 people. I dare you to do better. And that they use the song from this group called Two Steps from Hell. Mm-hmm. I've heard it, you know, stuff like that. But there's that, it was that line with that song. And I was like, oh, wow. Like, this is not my daddy's Star Trek. Holy cow.
Okay. So I didn't see this movie theatrically.
Mm-hmm.
But just casting
the trailer didn't work.
Casting my mind back, I was too young.
Okay.
And I did not want to see it. I thought it was going to be too scary.
Mm-hmm.
I think of the first teaser for Lord of the Rings, The Fellowship of the Ring.
Interesting.
Where they're cresting the hill is the first teaser trailer. And then the first full length trailer opens with Sean Bean Boromir picking up the ring from the snow where Frodo has dropped it.
Mm-hmm.
And if anyone doesn't know, I have a huge bias toward Lord of the Rings. I really, really love all things Tolkien. But those like really live rent free in my mind. I can probably tell you more trailers I think did a disservice to the quality of the movie than ones that I think really stuck them. Because I think trailer editing is really hard.
Mm-hmm.
Really hard.
Yeah. All right. Well, okay. So we talked a little bit about ourselves here.
Mm-hmm.
You are an actress.
I am.
And you also work in the pop culture space.
Mm-hmm.
For Popverse. I am a writer. I work for CBS Television, making comic books on the side and podcasting. I think we've got a lot of personal details here. Should we talk about the podcast is basically going to be like, we're going to choose a movie that inspired us in some way.
Mm-hmm.
And we're going to watch it.
Mm-hmm.
Hopefully you all watch it with us.
Mm-hmm.
And we will break down trivia bits and scenes and things that stood out to us, right or wrong. We'll, of course, rate it. We'll have to figure out all the details. We're working it on mm-hmm. it. We're thinking. I want to bring up a question to you first.
Okay.
That is kind of a, should we watch the movie trailer for the movie we're going to watch in the episode? Okay, I'll use an example here because I brought it up. Say this is not going to be one of the movies, but it could be, but it's not. Let's say we are watching the Star Trek.
Mm-hmm.
We're like, we're going to watch Star
yeah,
Trek.
Yeah.
Do we watch the trailer for Star Trek in this episode or at the beginning of the Star Trek episode after we've seen the movie to just kind of be like, that's what they put in the trailer?
No, we should watch it in this episode.
Okay.
And if it's the case where, as is going to sometimes happen, or the other person hasn't seen it, they should give their initial thoughts, including reservations.
Okay, I like this.
And then that can be the primer to be like, okay, well, then we're going to come back and talk about this next.
Okay, I agree.
And then I think we could always revisit the trailer if for some reason it comes up in conversation.
Yes, and I also think, too, that eventually we're going to open it up to questions.
Yeah.
And we will say the questions on, like, the next episode
yeah.
after everybody has watched the episode or whatever, and we'll have to remember that or whatever. So, okay, I also was going to say that, again, we're tuning inspiring. We're going to try to pick movies that people would not normally pick for podcasts like this. We want to go
off. So we're probably not doing Citizen Kane. We're probably not doing The Godfather.
Well, we're also going to say we also do Geek History Lesson,
yep.
as you all know, and which is a geeky, you know, teaching characters a lesson of pop, our pop culture. We're not going to do any film that you would probably hear on Geek. So if it's geeky, or it's superhero-y, it will probably not appear on this podcast.
So, for example, we were talking about the 2009 Star Trek. We've actually already yep. done a Geek History Lesson retrospective yep. on yep. that. So that's yep. where that's going to stay.
But there might be a chance that a comic book one could sneak into here.
Yeah. Like, History of Violence,
History
I think.
History of Violence, Road to Perdition.
It could sneak in for
yes.
sure.
Yeah. Some films like that.
But we're trying to keep superhero genre
away.
Yeah.
yeah. We have a whole other podcast for that one. And, you know, we're going to try to pick different ones. And I will say that I'm kind of inspired by Ashley's first choice.
Hey.
That I was going to pitch Ashley that should our quote unquote first season, I don't know how long the first season is going to be, but it'll be however long we do it.
Yep.
Should it be based around a theme? Because I have a theme based on your that I think fit.
Okay, pitch me.
So
let's do some development.
This will not reveal your choice.
That's fine, yeah.
So my theme would be, is this the adventure season?
Oh, yeah, that's cool. I could go with that. That's so broad enough that we could pick, you know, just about anything.
I'm just saying that if the adventure season, the first season of the Movies That Inspire Us podcast is the adventure season, mm-hmm. however you want to interpret
100%,
that,
yeah.
could be interpreted, but it will be something that inspired us that is sort of themed around an adventure.
Yeah, great.
So this is going to be the adventure season. We're going on an adventure.
I'm going on an adventure.
Do I have to clip that out now? I'm going on an adventure. Like Bilbo saying that?
No, don't make more work for yourself. You sure?
I have too much work. okay, so this is going to be the adventure season. should we announce the first movie of the movies that inspire us, the one that you're going to listen to or talk about in the very next episode?
Yes, let's.
All right, Ashley, this is your choice. This is Ashley Victoria Robinson's choice. Ashley, what is the first movie we are going to watch on the Movies That Inspired Us podcast?
The first movie that we are going to watch is Adventureland. 2009's Adventureland, directed by Greg Mottola, who, according to this poster, is the director of Superbad, which I haven't seen, starring Jesse Eisenberg, Kristen Stewart, Ryan Reynolds, Kristen Wiig, Bill Hader, Martin Starr. Everybody that you can think of who was popular in 2009 is in this movie. It is set in 1987. And it is about a young journalist who wants to go to Europe for the summer after he graduates and instead gets a job at his local theme park.
I have never seen this movie.
Yeah, I went through a real phase with this movie.
I want you to save. I want you to save why.
Yeah, that's fine.
For this episode, why this is going to be our first movie. I have found the trailer. It might be a rated R trailer. I don't know.
Should I say really quickly? It is streaming for free.
Oh, please.
On Pluto TV.
So you can watch it there.
You can watch it there. You'll have to watch ads, but it's free. You don't even need an account.
Yeah, yeah. Watch it there before the next episode so you'll be ready to watch it with us. And well, I mean,
We're big supporters of Pluto TV as well.
We could spoil the hell out of this movie before you see it. Who knows?
But yeah.
Just, hey, it's whatever you want to do. All right. So we're going to watch Adventureland. Here is the trailer.
My estimate for the Europe trip was a little off.
I suggest you get a job.
Jesse Eisenberg.
A summer job.
Mm-hmm. Happy graduation, kiddo.
I wrote for the Gordian Knot. It was a literary journal. No, I've never actually driven an asphalt mixer per se, but I did once drive my friend's van to Wisconsin on a pretty lengthy road trip.
He's like eternal teenager.
What am I supposed to do? I'm not even qualified for
that. I really liked him during this period.
Life after college is not exactly what James
Life after college.
I don't have much work experience.
James? Am I pronouncing that right? James.
Bill Hader.
Yeah. Yep.
By accepting this
t-shirt, I love Bill Hader.
You are
hired.
And Kristen Wiig.
Yep.
He'll get to deal with exciting career opportunities.
Nasty. You'll get better at avoiding that.
Oh, I knew Ryan Reynolds was in this movie.
Yeah.
5 minute bathroom.
He plays a real butthead in this movie.
A few of those up in case you have to go number two.
And inspiring leadership.
All right, the race is on. We have a winner. Here's this.
Hey, James. Have you ever seen a horse race before?
You really got it going on, right? You got it free!
This is how we met.
I'm amazed at how tiny my paycheck is.
We are doing the work of pathetic, lazy morons.
Please.
Forgot the Twilight Zone. Twilight Girl was in this too.
Kristen Stewart, yeah.
Party at my house tonight. My dad's at
this is also before Ryan Reynolds got jacked.
Yes, yeah. He's skinny in this, huh?
Yeah. Yeah.
James, every time
he's not as wide.
Yeah. He's not a superhero yet.
She'd look like naked.
Coming?
Yeah, you go ahead. I'll be in a second.
Overhead him! Look at this thing.
Yeah! This spring.
This trailer is so long.
It is 2 minutes and 30 seconds long. Maybe we should watch the teaser.
There's a whole corn dog.
My father's such a douche.
There's a whole corn dog. Oh, God. This song was in every trailer.
Well, most of the music is Yola Tango, so it's better than this.
Get out of my doorway.
You don't know what I'm capable of.
Thanks, Bobby. Hey, no problem.
Might just lead.
I love your song. Come on, let's dance.
To the best time of his life.
Lots of music, reaction shots.
Yeah.
Bill Hader sniffing a hot dog.
Bill Hader's weird in this movie.
No.
Adventureland.
I've been drinking drugs. I think I had a bad corn dog.
Yeah, don't ever eat the corn dogs.
Okay.
I haven't seen this movie in 10 years.
All right, it's going to be interesting. I have not seen this movie. Based on this, it kind of just looks like, Martin Starr, that's who the guy
was.
He's really good in the Tulsa King.
He is really funny in this, if my memory serves.
It's interesting because I think, again, like I think part of this was filmed in Tulsa, Oklahoma, and I lived there, and I think they filmed this.
Which is hilarious because it's set in a fake town, I believe, in Pennsylvania, based on a real crappy theme park in New York, and they shot it in Tulsa.
I think, I'll have to look that up. I think this is shot in Tulsa, Oklahoma at an abandoned, because there was, when I lived there, I believe I lived in Tulsa when they filmed this movie there. Because this was 2009. So I could be wrong about that, but it doesn't matter. Well, you know what? We'll do research on that for the next
episode.
There
you go.
Ashley, since it'll be your movie,
I'll
expect you to come up with the fun facts and the fun trivia besides all the scenes and things that inspired you.
Here's my first piece of fun trivia. The running time is 107 minutes, so it's not long.
Well, it already fits your rule.
It does. It's already a great movie.
It already fits your rule. All right. Well, this is going to be fun. Make sure and go watch Adventureland. When the next episode, the Adventureland episode, is going to come out, I don't know. We'll figure it out.
Don't worry about it.
Watch your podcast feeds. It'll happen.
Yeah.
It'll happen sometime around next month, next week, next day. Could be next day if you bulk streamed these episodes. They're all together.
I thought you were going to say if we bulked up like Ryan Reynolds.
If we bulked up like Ryan Reynolds.
6 months from now, you'll see in our Adventureland episode and we'll be jacked.
Okay, so let's see. I don't know. This movie, I think, is either going to be...
Be honest.
From this trailer.
Even if you think it looks bad.
From this trailer.
Yeah.
This movie is either going to be absolute garbage or because there's that mid-2000s college party movie.
Yeah.
Or it's going to be a stellar sleeper hit.
Mm.
And the trailer is completely misrepresenting this movie. Because I've seen that too before. I don't know which way it's going to go. It is crazy how almost everybody in this cast is now a big deal.
Is someone, yeah.
Yeah.
And this is before, I want everyone to know.
Social Network?
Twilight is out now. This is before The Social Network.
But this is after Twilight.
But Twilight won. She is the star in this movie.
Yeah, and she's barely in the trailer.
Yeah.
Barely.
She's a supporting character.
But it's also a thing about Ryan Reynolds. Like, Ryan Reynolds is like a major leading man now.
Is he?
Yes.
No, now, not when this movie was made.
No. Yeah, in 20, now?
I was like, in 2009? I mean, I don't know if he was a major star.
Oh.
Green Lantern hadn't even flopped yet.
Well, I was going to be like, last year he had two leading roles, which all, but were major hits.
I know. I was, if you don't know this about me, I am like the first to throw Ryan Reynolds under the bus.
Yes, fellow Canadian to throw a fellow Canadian underneath the bus.
Yeah. I actually didn't mean it this time.
Yeah.
Ryan Reynolds, come on the podcast anytime.
Have we explained enough about who we are and why we want to do this podcast?
I don't think we have. It's like really? Very much. I think we've explained a lot about our tastes in movies.
Oh.
I don't really think we've explained anything about ourselves personally.
Well, I'll just do that next.
Just have to figure it out. Google us. We're very Googleable.
There you go. If you want to know more.
Yeah.
Ah, sure. Why not? All right, cool. So next episode of the Movies That Inspired Us podcast, there are our own personal movie clubs. Going to be Adventureland, everybody. It's going to be a lot of fun. It's going to be really great. You can follow me on TikTok at Jason Edman Writer. Ashley, where can they find you on TikTok?
You can find me you can find me on all social media at Ashley V. Robinson. The V is very important.
Yes. We also need to figure out how we're going to end this podcast, because that's a big problem we have. We're not good at indie podcasts.
We're great at ending Geek History Lesson.
Well, we've been doing that for 9 years.
I know.
This is the first time we've done this one.
Should we say, see you in the movies?
Isn't that what Roper and Ebert used to say? See you at the movies.
I'm not going
to
pretend like I've ever listened, watched, or read anything by them.
Why not?
Because I think I was a child when they stopped doing it. So I don't know, maybe.
Okay.
That's all, folks. Hasta la vista,
literally,
baby.
Literally just put down. This year was like, the podcast is over. I'm going to throw my partner to the wind. We're just done. Anyways, it's going to be exciting. This is the season of adventure.
It's
the season of adventure movies. We're going to watch Adventureland next time we see you.
Yep.
Next time you hear us. I hope it's an adventure. It might not be.
It will be an adventure either way.
We'll see you after we watch the movies. We are going to be chatting about a little adventure, a little land, a little place.
Land of adventure.
What's the movie? I mean, if they've looked at the title, they know what we're talking about. But Ashley, what's the movie we were talking about today?
Today we are talking about 2009's Adventureland.
All right. So let's get into this. Let's explore how Adventureland helped. Ashley, this was your choice to watch.
My choice.
In our inaugural episode.
Mm-hmm.
Let's talk about what this film is, what this film is about, mm-hmm. and what footsteps from this film to Ashley's current career as an actor, writer, producer that got her there.
Dilettante.
So, yes, dilettante. Is that your official? Is that on the resume
Multi-hype,
now?
Multi-hype. If you pay me, I will do it.
Dilettante. Okay. So let's talk. Tell us all about Adventureland and, you know, the writers, the directors, mm-hmm, who mm-hmm. made this film of your footsteps of your life.
Yes. Adventureland is an American comedy drama. If you know me, you know I do not like it when we take two very broad categories that can describe pretty much everything and claim that that describes one movie. I find the description of comedy drama very irritating. That was written and directed by Greg Mottola. If that name is familiar to you, you probably saw Superbad. The irony in that is I did not. I have never seen Superbad. It stars Jesse Eisenberg and Kristen Stewart with Ryan Reynolds, Kristen Wiig, Bill Hader, and Martin Starr.
I actually saw in the trivia, weirdly, that apparently this is the first of three films that Jesse Eisenberg and Kristen Stewart
I have that as a fun fact.
Yeah, which I never considered that was a subgenre of film.
Okay, let me ask you then. Let me scroll down to where I have that information. Do you know what the other two films are?
American Ultra is one of them.
2015.
I don't think I know the other one.
The other one is called Cafe Society, which I have never heard of. They came out in 2015 and 2016. Decider has an article called Kristen Stewart and Jesse Eisenberg are acting soulmates based on these three appearances that they made, and I have to tip my hat to the level of hyperbole in that title.
Well, you know,
I'm gonna say that I hard disagree with that.
You gotta sell them clicks sometimes.
Yeah.
All right, let's continue with Adventureland.
So Adventureland is set in the summer of 1987 and centers around a recent college graduate, James Brennan, Jesse Eisenberg, who has made plans to tour Europe and attend graduate school to pursue a career in journalism. However, financial problems force him to look for a summer job instead of traveling abroad, which places him at Adventureland, a rundown amusement park in western Pennsylvania, loosely based on the Adventureland local theme park in Farmingdale, New York, where he meets Emily, played by Kristen Stewart, a coworker with whom he quickly develops a rapport and relationship. In this movie, Jesse Eisenberg plays a younger version of writer-director Greg Mottola, who, as I said, worked at the actual Adventureland on Long Island in the 1980s. What's interesting about this to me is Jesse Eisenberg basically did the same thing, playing a younger version of the director of the movie The Squid and the Whale from 2005, which I also think is a great movie and a great performance by him. And he described Greg Mottola as being, quote, extremely, extremely earnest. He's extremely careful about what he says. Jesse Eisenberg told cinema.com that in an interview. And I think if you've watched this movie, you can kind of see where that comes out in his characterization of James Brennan, of the lead character of the movie. And I would also like to tell you what this movie opened against.
Okay, so set the stage. What's the year again?
2009.
Okay, so what this movie did
this is April 2009. So just on the peak of like tentpole summer blockbuster season.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So it opened against two movies that I had never heard of and I have only read the briefest of synopses on, and I'm okay. happy to share this with you. And one movie that is the start of a peak genre franchise that just released a trailer for the latest installment very, very recently at the time of this recording. And I would like to do a game of verbal charades to get Jason to guess what this first installment in a massive franchise is.
Please, because that clue, whatever you just said, confused me even more.
That's
so.
Okay. Okay, so the big movie that it opened against has cars that are angry.
This opening against Transformers?
Okay, but with Vin Diesel in the lead.
Cars? Okay, let's just pause here. Cars that are angry is how you would describe Fast and Furious?
I mean, am I wrong? I was trying to get something for Furious.
No. I
you
get
got
that.
There.
Yeah. But you can understand why I went Transformers first.
I can. Yeah.
Because you personified the
Cars. Yeah, the Cars, yeah.
So which Fast and the first one?
The OG Fast and the Furious.
Fast and the Furious.
Fast and Furious.
They later called it The Fast and the Furious, yeah. And that was later.
Opening against Fast and the Furious, Fast and Furious, a movie called Baby on Board, which is a 2009 comedy starring Heather Graham and Jerry O'Connell about an ambitious, image-conscious businesswoman working for a career-demanding female boss who inexplicably gets knocked up and has to decide if she can do both.
Wow, I've never heard of that movie.
Never. And then also against the movie called Gigantic, which is an independent comedy film starring Paul Dano and Zooey Deschanel about a young mattress salesman who decides to adopt a baby from China, which doesn't sound problematic at all.
A young mattress salesman.
Yep, played by Paul Dano.
All right.
Right before Little Miss Sunshine.
Yeah, Fast and Furious obliterated all of it. I saw Fast and Furious in theaters.
I have never seen a Fast and Furious movie, and somewhere Arun Singh is shaking his fist at the sky right now.
Yes. friend of the pod. Yes. Yes. You know, I don't know if you're missing anything.
I think the ship for me, I think the ship has sailed.
No, the car has sailed. That movie's about cars. Angry Cars, as you described it, which would be a great app, by the way.
Would it?
Angry Cars. Yeah,
sure. Yeah.
Okay. So when did you first see Adventureland? And tell me about the first time you watched this movie.
So I first saw Adventureland in 2020 because I had just seen the year before or like 6 months before The Social Network. I didn't see The Social Network in theaters because I was like, who cares about the Facebook movie? Mm-hmm. But then I was in school at the time and I was really, really into award season because I didn't know that all awards are shams yet. So I took award nominated movies and performances very seriously. And so I watched The Social Network. I really liked it. I thought Jesse Eisenberg was really good in it. So I went and watched a bunch of other things that Jesse Eisenberg had done. And I was not going to watch Zombieland. So I definitely was going to watch Adventureland. I bought it on DVD.
Oh, yeah.
Then I watched it for the first time.
What special features did that DVD have?
Absolutely none.
Commentary?
I'm sure I bought the $5.99 version was just the movie. And maybe like a blooper reel, a really, really crummy blooper reel. I will say revisiting this as an adult person was like crawling around in my psyche at the time.
In your 2007? Yeah. No, it would have been later. You didn't see this.
This would have been like 2020, early 2020, because it was right before, 2010.
I was like, you what?
No, 2010. It would have been like in the 6 months before I came to the United States. I bought this when I was living in Ottawa and then I took the summer off and I went to Europe, unlike Jesse Eisenberg's character. And then I moved to Los Angeles. And I want to say I brought this DVD with me to Los Angeles because I watched this a lot when I was in university here in the States. And then I literally don't know what happened to it. I don't know if I sold it to Amoeba in a desperate need for cash or if I just got rid of it over the years, but
it disappeared.
It disappeared, but I definitely
watched
this.
It is now on an adventure of its own somewhere.
Somewhere in some land.
Either in a trash can or a $5 bin somewhere, or $1 bin maybe.
But I definitely watched this post Social Network. And I learned when I was really into this movie that Jesse Eisenberg had worked with Ars Nova, which is like a really cool developmental indie theater company in New York City. So I was like, wow, like that's a path I'd like to take. I found that really inspiring that he was like a theater guy who was like suddenly nominated for Academy Awards.
Well, this was my first time watching the movie. I will say that, you know, the intention of this podcast, again, is to one of us picks the film. And then we're going to show like why this inspired us, you know, in our careers. But this is not going to happen every single time. I have never seen Adventureland until we rewatched it for this podcast.
This is a movie that over the years I have said to you, like, I would love to watch this with you. Yeah. This was just like the perfect opportunity
to
do so.
I described this a little bit as we were watching the film. I didn't see this movie because
you would have been, I think, a little too old for the age market at the time.
No, when
like
this,
kids out of high school.
No, well, yeah. When this came out, I was in college.
Yeah, like I think this movie is for people in high school who are like excited to be college kids.
Yeah. And I was the college kid when this came out. Yeah. So, you know, I didn't see it because the trailer was advertised as a very goofy Ryan Reynolds comedy.
Yeah.
It's weirdly when we were watching this, I thought to myself, I was like, wow. We are going to talk about Ryan Reynolds a lot in this podcast. And because the trailer really made it seem like the two names the trailer like really focused on to me from my memories, not from the one we rewatched in the last episode. It was Kristen Stewart,
who was just off Twilight. Yep. So, of course, that makes sense.
And Ryan Reynolds.
Yes.
And it's because this is the time period of Ryan Reynolds. Like, he did Waiting. Mm-hmm. That was another goofy comedy. He did Van Wilder. I know Van Wilder is earlier 2000s, but like he was.
But
still,
it's this era. This is who he was in his career at that time.
He was goofy comedy guy, and he's still goofy comedy guy to some place. But like now, I think he's leading man goofy comedy guy.
Can I give you a fun fact?
About Ryan Reynolds.
About Ryan Reynolds.
Sure.
Do you know what the next movie, not that he went to film, but that was released for him was?
No, I don't.
X-Men Origins Wolverine. And I actually went back and I read
his first appearance
interview that he did with Collider at the time. And yeah. He was like, yeah, I'm playing Deadpool and I wanted to play Deadpool for so long and I'm so excited. And then The Proposal, which he's also very famous for, came out that same summer.
Yeah. He's, well, again, we looked it up. He's 32 in this movie.
And Kristen Stewart is?
18. Yeah, it's a little
eepy.
Yes, he had a very, in an interview we found, Ryan Reynolds said this thing where he said, he's like, the weird thing about doing these scenes with Kristen Stewart is that I remember the bad fashion choices of the 80s. And to her, the 80s don't exist.
Well, yeah, because she was like a little baby.
Yeah. You know, we got to get to this answer, Ashley. This is the real footstep of this pod. Why did you pick Adventureland for this podcast? What is the footstep for you that inspired you in this movie?
So it was so interesting to watch this now. Like I said, when we watched the trailer, I don't think I've seen this movie in like 10 years. Mm-hmm. I think what appealed to me about this movie at the time is that Kristen Stewart plays the girl that I wanted to be, like hot and tortured and like and aloof.
And being a carnival barker?
I mean, at this time I was working for Stats Canada calling people to take surveys. So like I wasn't doing fulfilling work, you know?
We cannot push past that. You can't just drop that in this podcast and expect us to move on. What the hell is Stats Canada?
Statistics Canada.
Okay. So what was your job with this?
I would walk to a building in downtown Ottawa and I would sit behind a desk and I called people and asked them if they wanted to do surveys for Statistics Canada so that we could.
So what would these surveys be?
The one that they put me on a lot was because I also am fluent in French was I would call women in Quebec and I would ask them about their experience giving birth with like the healthcare system. And then that information would go back to be like 40% of women said that they had a good experience giving birth in hospitals in Quebec, stuff like that.
To the National Health Service.
Yeah.
So, okay. Look, we got to get that. You just dropped the grenade on this podcast.
It paid $11 an hour, which was like so much money back then.
Yeah.
And I was saving to go to Europe, like I said. So like it was a very boring job and a very unfulfilling, but it was so easy.
But when you just dropped Statistics Canada, I was like, I don't think most Americans know what that is. So you would call up ladies that had given birth.
Yeah. Well, the computer one.
Yes. And you would say, would you ask them to rate their birthing experience on a scale of 1 to 10?
I mean, your job, yes and no.
Okay.
So it would be like, how would you rate like the preparatory care that the hospital gave you before you came in and gave birth on a scale of 1 to 10?
But you would say it in French.
How? Yes.
Can we hear that? Can we go back in time here? And I would love to hear.
To be fair, I had a script to read off of as well.
And I'm making you do improv. But can you give us just a taste of a couple of questions? Of in French of what we would have heard. Of course, I cannot give you the response back.
Yeah.
But I think this is such a fascinating backwards walking footstep to 2007 or...
No, this would have been 2010.
2010, Ashley. Yeah. This is very interesting. Okay, so I am... all right, so let's get some sound.
Can I have a ring, please? That's one of the four.
Well, I'm going to give you a dial tone because you would have heard a dial tone. And then
you don't hear anything. You only hear if they pick up.
Shh, you hear that.
Oh, bonjour.
Bonjour, madame. Je suis Ashley. Je viens de Statistics Canada. I don't remember what the French name for Statistics Canada is. J'ai une collection de questions avec ton expérience à l'hôpital. Comment ça va en préparation? And then, whatever they would like answer you.
Oui, Jacques Cousteau.
No. One of the questions that I remember vividly was, how supportive was your husband throughout the birthing process?
What do you need to know?
On a scale of 1 to 10.
You don't need to know the answer to that, Statistics Canada.
I mean, they didn't have to answer you. Like, they could elect not to answer anything.
Oh, they could hung up anytime. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Interesting.
But sort of back to my initial.
So you wanted to be, you were calling people. You hated the calls.
Yeah, it was very boring.
You were tired of these angry cars out in theaters. Yeah. And you wanted to be Kristen Stewart working. Making googly eyes at Jesse Eisenberg.
Yeah, like she was the person I wanted to be. And I think Jesse Eisenberg probably played the type of character that I thought I was, mm-hmm. like kind of nerdy and bookish and like underappreciated. Mm-hmm. I was probably who I thought I was when I was in university. So I watching it now, like I can see what about those two characters and their relationship really appealed to me.
And that's it for the Film Footsteps preview. Bonus, sneak preview. Pretty good, huh? If you want to hear that full episode on Adventureland, you got to come over to patreon.com/Jawlin. Support Geek History Lesson. Get yourself all kinds of bonus episodes, including ad-free episodes and sneak peeks and access to the My University Discord, which is a lot of fun. Come on over there. We'll be back next week with Super Mario Brothers. I'm Jason Inman. Thank you so much for listening.